Lord, from that abundant supply that you brought forth in this last day, Lord, that you saved the best for last. Lord, we're the blessed, most blessed people, Lord, your bride around the world, to live in this last hours, Lord, to be able to feast upon these great mysteries, Lord, to be able to feed upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts once again. Lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, that you would just have your way in all things. We pray for Sister Betty, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen her. Lord, be with the family. Lord, strengthen them. Sister Rebecca, we just ask your blessing upon each one now. Lord, we just commit all to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to be here. Now, I wanted to review just a little bit, and I had so much that I know you're not going to be able to get this down on probably be able to see it with the camera, but I'm going to just speak it anyways, and that way we can just put it back out there for the benefit of the people. And so we started on the breach now on Sunday. And in this message, Brother Branham, really, he brings so much in this message, and it's just, it's outstanding. And he's bringing us, he makes it clear that it's the breach between the church ages and the seven seals. He says plainly, he says, this is not the seals. He says, this is the breach between the church ages and the seals. And he starts off, and this is what he starts with, and then we're going to go here. So let me see if I can just read it. The first thing he does when he starts his message is he reminds them that he's received the sword of the king, and that it's the king and not a king. And then he says the first four seals are opened by four horse riders. And he said this is not the seals, it's the breach between the church ages and seals. He declares that the church goes up in the third chapter, and it returns in the 19th chapter. He said there was no man worthy to take the book. There was no man worthy to look upon the book. See, but he said the lion prevailed to take the book. And when he turned to see that lion, it was a lamb. He said in Revelations 5, the book was closed. Revelations 10, the book was open. Christ comes down and opens it. Revelations 10, he's the angel of the covenant coming directly to the Jews, for the church is finished. Look how much information that he's throwing out to the people, what they've never heard of this before. So much of this is all new information in 1963, things that they've never heard before, and now he's putting it to them before the seals are open. And he tells them in here, he said, now these things will be important in the seals. When we get into the seals, these things I'm telling you right now, they're going to be important that you know them. So, he said, Revelation 10, he's a messenger to Israel. The bride is being raptured. The seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders. So this is, he had mentioned the thunders before, and we know that he got it in, serves as just a time. And so now, he's making sure we know when he starts this, that those seven thunders are happening at the same time as these seals are revealing. The mystery of the seven seal book, the mystery of the seven seal book revealed at the sounding of the seventh angel. The mysterious book is a book of redemption. And the mysteries come down from God as the word of God and reveals the entire revelation of God, servancy, Godhead, everything, all the loose ends are tied up. When the seals are broke, the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ. And I didn't put on here, but he made it clear that the seventh angel was standing on the earth at the time that this mighty angel comes down. So, when the seals are broke, the mysteries are sealed, the seventh angel is on the earth. Okay, I got that. The seventh seal book is the mystery of redemption from God. It is a book of redemption. The earthly angel on earth, another angel, mighty angel, comes down from heaven. And this one's a rainbow covenant. Brother Ram said, only Christ it could be. He said, the book is sealed with seven seals. And then he declares, that is different from the seven thunders. The seals are not released until the message of the seventh angel, and that the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated truth. And the book is not known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals. It's his. And now I actually ran out of time this afternoon and didn't finish. But one of the things I left off, there was a few things I left off there. Brother Branham said, the book is not revealed until the seven church ages are finished. This book of seals is not revealed until the church ages are over, till it's done. And he said the denomination, all of it, he said, it's finished, it's done, it's over. Then, so that's what we got Sunday. So he establishes all of that right at the beginning of the message. And then he goes back to the fall. And so this is where he brings in Adam. And then when he gets done with Adam, then he's going to go to the intercessory work. And so we're going to get that. So here, let's start at page 81, paragraph 5. And he says, now, we don't need anybody to interpret that for us. See? Of course, we know it was eternal life they had fallen from. We know, Brother Branham just says it's like everybody knows it. Everybody knows this simple fact. It was eternal life that they had fallen from. And they lost their claims on eternal life. What did they lose? Their claims. Their claims. And what did he come to do in this day? He came to claim. He came to claim, and he came to reveal to those that he's claiming that they are eternal with him, that they always was eternal with him, that they were a part of him before the foundation of the world. But there came a time at the fall when they didn't recognize any longer that they were eternal with him. And he had to reveal this to them for them to know, because without that revelation, that they don't know that they're sons and daughters of God. God has to reveal to you that you're a son and daughter of God. And when he reveals to you that you are, you know that you are eternal with him. They lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden, and brought all nature under them to death. All nature went down with Adam. All nature went down with the fall. All because he was in complete control of all of it. And everything that he was in control of it, it went down with him. Now there's only one thing that cannot die. I'm sorry, I missed some. A tree never died. See? Let me go back. From eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden, and brought all nature under them to death. A tree never died before Adam. An animal never died, wouldn't die before Adam. And there's only one thing that cannot die, and that's God, because he's eternal. And that's the only way that we can ever keep from dying. We have to have eternal life in us to be sons and daughters of God. That's the only way. See? And the Bible says that Adam was a son of God. That's the genealogy of the Bible, that Adam was a son of God. And the only way that you can be a son or daughter of God is to have eternal life. Now, of course, when Adam fell to death, he brought death upon all creation. And now he was given free moral agency. It was given to them just as we, so to make a choice. God gave us free moral agency. God put us on free moral agency. And God wanted us to make a choice. God still wants us to make a choice. He wanted them to make a choice. He wanted them to make the right choice. He wanted them to make the choice to stand with the Word, always with the Word. But that's where they failed. But God gave that to you because God wanted a people that was going to obey Him, that was going to stand for Him, that was going to believe Him and obey Him no matter what, no matter what the circumstances was, no matter what the conditions was, they were going to stand upon his word. And so he put them out there. He wanted Moses to make a choice. When Moses was crying, God said, "Why cry? Speak." He wanted him to make the choice. Brother Branham said the same thing after the seals was revealed, that he said that he had failed God in this one thing, that God had to push him through the barrel. God had to push him to do everything because he didn't want there to be one mistake. He didn't want to mess anything up. But he said, "I've got to walk by faith. I've got to step out and just take the word and go forth with the word." And can you make a mistake? You can make a mistake. Did Moses make a mistake? He did make a mistake. Amen. This is Brother Gumba was talking the other day about striking the rock. God didn't want him to do that again. God didn't want him to do that. But God put him there to lead those people. And when he did it, when he did it and God wasn't pleased with it, he didn't get to enter into the land. But God put him in the position to do that. And God didn't go off on an emotional tantrum and say, "Now you're not my prophet. No, I'm not going to do anything for you. Nothing else you say is going to happen." No, what happened when he struck the rock? Water came out of the rock because he was God's prophet. And God had already vindicated that whatever he says is going to happen. So God stood by his part. And God will stand by his part. And we've got to stand by our part. I thought about Peter. He made a decision one day when they came to take Jesus away. He made a decision to stand up and fight. And he took the ear off one of those soldiers. And that's not how Jesus wanted it. That's not how God wanted it to go down. And Jesus just put the ear back on. He just put the ear back on. But Peter stood for the word. He stood for the word. He made a choice and he stood for the word. Right or wrong, he stood on the word. God wants sons and daughters to speak the word. Adam and Eve in the beginning, there was a tree of right and wrong before them. And that same tree sets before each and every one of us. God isn't doing for Adam or for Eve. You say, "Well, it's their fault." No, not now it isn't their fault. See, it's your fault. You can't place it on Adam now. You got to place it on yourself. Because right and wrong is set before you. We're on the same basis as Adam and Eve. Every day, every one of us, we go out the door, we decide we're going to stand on the word today, or we're going to veer off. We're going to go another direction. But you see, when we are redeemed, we no more want our own choice, but we want his choice. That's the difference right there. We don't want our choice no more. We want him to guide us in everything. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. And that's why when a believer is born again, they have something in them that is leading them and guiding them every day of their life. Every day, there's something there. Now, Adam and Eve wanted their own choice. That was the thing. They got sidetracked. They wanted to find out what it was to have wisdom. So they probed into it, and it caused death. Now, when a man's been redeemed, he don't care for scholarships. He don't care anymore for the things of the world, the wisdom of the world. He don't want no choice at all. Christ has been his choice, and that's all of it. He's redeemed. He no more wants to lead himself. That's the reason we're likened to sheep, because a sheep gets lost. A sheep has to be led. A sheep, you let a sheep go out in the forest, and he's just going to stand there and cry. He don't know what to do. He just no more wants to lead himself. He don't want nobody to talk him into where to go and what to do. He just waits and finds out the choice of his maker. See? Then he goes in the name of his maker. When the maker tells him to go. Amen. Now, when Adam sinned by heeding his wife's reasoning instead of holding to God's word, that's what made Adam sin. Now, I've heard arguments about it. He sinned, he didn't sin, he did this, he did that. The scripture plainly declares he wasn't in the transgression. The scripture plainly declares he was not deceived. This is how Adam sinned. He sinned when he listened to his wife. The prophet is nailing it down. He's laying it right there, and he's saying this is what made Adam sin. When he took what somebody said. He just got done explaining to us that when we're born again, we no more are going to let anybody lead us off of this word. It's going to be the word, the Spirit of God, leading us and guiding us in this revelation. We're not taking anything else. That's what made Adam sin, see? His wife reasoned with Satan and then produced the product to Adam. And Adam turned loose the word and sold out. He lost also his inheritance when he lost his fellowship and right to life. He lost his inheritance, he lost his fellowship, and he lost his right to life. Remember, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. And when he lost his life, he also lost his inheritance in life, because he had completely supreme control of the earth. He was a god of the earth. Adam was god of the earth. He had complete supreme control. Everything was under his control. The weather was under his control. He could speak to the wind, it would do whatever he said. He could speak anything he wanted to. It was anything about the earth, he was in complete control of it. Any tree, he could move it. Any mountain, he could move it. The water, it would do whatever. Any animal, it'd do whatever he told it to do. He was in complete control of everything. He was a god of the earth. God's the god of the universe, everywhere. But his son had this earth under his control. He could speak, he could name, he could stay, he could stop nature, he could do anything he wanted to do. See? He was under free moral agency. He could do anything he wanted to do. Anything he wanted to do. But when he did that, he lost his inheritance. Huh? When he left that, when he listened to his wife. Amen. Now Adam could say, let this mountain be moved over here, and he would do it. Adam could say, let this tree be plucked up and planted over here, and it would do it, see? For he had complete supreme control as a minor god under God, our Father, because he was a son of God. He was a son of God. This was his inheritance. This is what God gave him and put him over. See, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now he's telling us that was his inheritance. The earth was his inheritance. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold out to, Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasoning. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him. He forfeited it every bit to the hands of Satan. Now, Brother Branham is going to clarify this in just a moment. So it may sound contradictory, but he'll clarify it. And it'll be right on. So what did he do? He forfeited his eternal life. He forfeited his right to the tree of life. He forfeited the earth. So I know there's an argument out there that He didn't have eternal life yet. So my question is this. Was he already the God of the earth? Was he already the God of the earth? Was he already in control of all of the earth? He was. And he forfeited it. Is that right? So in order to forfeit something, you have to have it. You have to have it in order to forfeit it. So he had complete supreme control over all of the earth. And he forfeited that. There was something that he forfeited it for. We know that. That's another thing. But he forfeited it for that reason. So at the same time, he forfeited his right to the tree of life. He forfeited it. You got to have something before you can give it up. You have to have something. You got to lose something before it can be restored back. You got to be someplace before you can be redeemed back to that place. He forfeited his eternal life. What was the first thing Brother Branham said when we started this? The first quote. We know it was eternal life that he forfeited. It was eternal life in flesh that he forfeited. That's what it was. He passed it from his hand to Satan. Now, it has been, it returned and has been polluted, and the seed of Adam has destroyed the inheritance that Adam should have had. And that's the earth. And now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner. So it sounded like Satan got it, but he didn't. Satan may become the God of the earth, but Satan did not become the possessor of the title deed. He did not become possessor of the book. So, now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner. So, just to be clear, and I know this is simple, too simple, but if it's forfeited, then it means somebody had it. If God didn't have it, and it's forfeited and it goes back to God, then somebody else had it. And Brother Branham's saying it was Adam. It was Adam that had it. He had all rights to eternal life. He had all rights to the inheritance, the earth. He had all rights to the book. He had it. He possessed it. And he forfeited it. In order to forfeit something, you have to have it. The forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life. And when Adam forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it. See? So it went back to its original owner, God himself. So God placed his son here. He put him in complete supreme control of everything with eternal life in a flesh body that God had created. He put him there, put him over the earth. He gave him a helpmate. They were co-equal. As we were talking with the children last night, we were in devotion. We went in Genesis chapter 6, and devotions has been just wonderful with the girls because the questions come three at a time, almost three at a time, and they really have good questions. And so I really enjoyed so much. It's been a blessing. And so it really makes you think, and it makes you look closely at the things that you're saying, the things that you're reading, and what the prophet has told us. And so I say it again. We are the most blessed people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Yes, Brother Branham said, this is the greatest time to live on the earth. Right. Now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it. So it went back to its original owner, God Himself, where Adam got it from. It went back to God. That means Adam had it. Adam possessed it. And we're going to find in just a minute here, there he sets on the throne with it in his hand, the title deed. Oh, that makes me feel religious, friends. The title deed to eternal life. The abstract title deed to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner, Almighty God. What a great thing. See? All right, waiting. What's it doing? In the hands of God, waiting for redemption claims. And when does that come? That's what's opening up right now in this message, in the breach. That's what he's introducing to the world. That's what he's introducing to the bride. That's what he's introducing to the church, to everyone. That this is the thing that has been lacking for 2,000 years. This is the reason why he was sitting there as a mediator. This is the reason why that it didn't end at the Calvary when he said, "It is finished." This is the reason. People didn't know what the reason was. People didn't understand what was going on. The last 2,000 years, they didn't know what it was. Now it's known. Now we know. Waiting for redemption claims, he made a way of redemption. He made a way back. And someday the Redeemer is to take it back. You see where you're getting to now? We'll watch this fellow sitting upon the throne, waiting for redemption claims. It's redemption. What is this book of redemption? It is the title deed, the abstract title deed. You say abstract? Well, just stop 1 minute. What did Adam lose? The abstract title deed. He had eternal life. He had the abstract. He had it. And he lost it. He forfeited it. He forfeited that eternal life in flesh. Just in flesh. He forfeited it to save his wife. You say, what does abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to its beginning. Praise God. This is where true justification comes from. When it goes all the way back to its beginning. To where you were in him before the foundation of the world. See, like that little drop of ink this morning. When it struck that bleach, it went all the way back. And when sin has been confessed and falling into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh, it gives an abstract right straight back to the Creator again. And you become a son of God. Abstract title deed is held in the hand of Almighty. Oh, my. Praise be to God. That's what Adam forfeited. And that's what we possess today. That's what we have. Its redemption means all of that being back, the book being redeemed back, eternal life being redeemed back, all of it coming back. See? Its redemption means all legal possessions to all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Everything they lost is redeemed back. Oh my, what that ought to do to a born-again Christian. It's legal possession to the abstract deed, title deed of eternal life means you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost. Now that's a big statement. And I've heard it argued both ways. That no, we're still waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Do we have eternal life in flesh? Can a Christian die? No, that gene can't die. Can this flesh die? It can die. This isn't the Son of God. The Son of God is living inside of this. Do we have healing? That's what those stripes were for on Calvary. That's what they were for. We have access to healing. We have spiritual healing. That's what Malachi 4 was. He would rise with healing in his wings. That, Brother Branham said, that's spiritual healing. Amen. See, God's law required an innocent substitute. And who was innocent? Every man had been born sexual after sex. Everyone. And the only one that wasn't, Adam, the only one that wasn't, Adam, had forfeited his rights to eternal life. And this is the new one, to be king of the earth. He forfeited being the king and the God of the earth. Amen. Oh, when I think of that scripture, for thou hast redeemed us back to God, and we may reign and be kings and priests upon the earth. Amen. Praise be to God. And we know where this scripture is promised to live. This scripture was not promised to live in the church ages. This scripture became alive, was quickened after those seals opened up. Amen. That when the new birth comes today, you are placed as kings and priests before God. Offering spiritual sacrifices. Kings. Praise God. There's a lot could be said on those things. Amen. Oh my, what the kinsman redeemer. What a story we would have here. The law required a kinsman redeemer to redeem a lost substance. Grace met this requirement in the person of Jesus Christ. A kinsman must be born of the human race. That's right. That's right. Now, that got what he said in the breach. That got the sin. He said a lot. And so he took us back there so he could bring us up to the opening, to the restoring of all these things. He took us back there to show us what was lost so that he could bring us up. And so since we had it there, I want to just to keep it on that instead of starting in the intercessory work. Once I start in that, I want to stay in that. So I thought I would just add a couple of more quotes on Adam here. And this next one is in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, page 429. or paragraph 29, I'm not even sure. I think it's paragraph 429. Now remember, he is that tree of life. Contrary to the serpent seed, you see, he's that seed, the woman seed, the tree of life in the garden. Unless they put forth their hands and move this tree, they'd eat that tree and live forever. They had already forfeited the tree. They had the tree and they forfeited the tree. And now they're put out. And he's the only tree that can be taken, that you can live forever. His word is life. And that be the word then. And the word of God, which Eve turned down in the Garden of Eden. Then here is Christ, the word made manifest. And when he come on earth, he was the tree of life. Do you believe that? Absolutely believe it. That he was the tree of life because all life would come through him.
That's right.
And it did. Because he put his son there in the beginning, and he put his son there with eternal life in flesh and made him a God over the earth in complete supreme control of the earth over everything, and he forfeited what God placed him as. And then now it required a redeemer. It needed a redemption, somebody to redeem that book back, to redeem the title deed back, and Christ fulfilled that. And now through that, he brings forth a bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored back to him as husband and wife in the Garden of Eden. Oh, glory to God. By the same word, the same God made manifest in husband and wife. The same bride tree back again.
Amen.
That's right. That bride tree, he mentions it a lot. Notice now, making it known. There's just so much here we could keep on going. Notice the tree of Christ's body in the garden. The tree of Christ's body in the garden. That was part of it. That was Christ's body. And this is Christ's body. This is the completing of the body. And that's exactly what Brother Branham, when he pointed back at the rapture, and he said, they were every one, Luther, Wesley, part of the rapture. Those prophets was part of it, in that they were making up that part of the body. That was part of the body all the way through. It was Christ. It was God being manifested all the time, manifesting himself. And every time he come, that he chose a vessel, and he lived in that vessel, he expressed himself in that vessel, that was him. It was part of the body. It was the body of Jesus Christ manifesting God, the Father, the Spirit, in flesh. Over and over and over. Watch. Redeemed by Christ, the second Adam. You believe that? Congregation says amen. Going back home to Eden with his fallen wife. Redeemed back home again. That's Christ. In the church today, taking his wife back. Just like Adam took his wife back. The threefold mystery now. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church. All together. To bring back the original Adam and Eve again. Man and women, which are one, made up out of the same blood and the same spirit and everything else. Amen. That's right. Praise be to God. And then he drops this bomb. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. Because that's where the life is. That's where the life is. The life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. And Brother Branham pats his Bible. Denominations won't work. Never touch that. It's a revelation. And she knows it. And so did Eve know it. But she failed. But this one knows it and she won't fall. She's ordained. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Whew. She is ordained not to fall. Right. We read a scripture not too long ago. He that is able to keep you from falling. He put Adam and Eve there. He knew they was going to fall. He had a purpose in the fall. And he made them so they could fall. He allowed them to fall. He put them on free moral agents. He did everything that he needed to do so they could fall. So he could express himself. So he could bring a many-membered bride. A many-membered body that he would not allow to fall under any circumstances. Under any way. Under any pressure. Under any deception. Under anything. There would be a bride without spot or wrinkle who could not fall under any circumstances. You cannot make her doubt this revelation. You can't. See? She's ordained. She is ordained not to fall. She won't fall. She's predestinated to it. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin. You ministers know what I'm speaking of. When there's a couple dozen of you sitting here, see, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. David said, praise be to God. Notice, redeeming back with him, going home, back to eternal life in a human body. Praise be to God. That's what Adam lost. Eternal life in a human body. He had a created flesh body. It was as perfect as a body could be. And Brother Branham talked about how that he was, I think he was in Greece. I don't know if it was Athens, Greece, or where he was at. I don't know if it was a museum or what it was. And he said he seen this artist rendering of Adam and Eve. And he said, she was the ugliest woman you ever seen. And said, Adam was just kind of stoop-shouldered and just buried, said, hairs coming out of his nose, said, just ugly, shaggy-looking something. Brother Branham said, that's the carnal mind. He said, Adam and Eve was the most perfect man and woman that ever was on the earth. He said, Adam was a perfect man. Said, not shoulders like a barn, but said, he was a man. And said, he was a perfect man. And said, and it kind of threw me, and I heard it before, it'd been a long time, I never thought about it, but he said, and Eve was the most perfect woman you ever seen. And she had blonde hair and blue eyes. And I was like, you just wonder, he had to see something. I don't even touch that. I don't even touch it. But that's what he said. That's what he said. One thing you can be sure, they were perfect. They were perfect in every way. They were perfect because they were made from the hand of God. And God made them so they could fall. That don't make them no less a son and daughter of God. Let me just go by that. Let me just leave it right there. See, redeeming back with him, going home, back to eternal life in a human body. Now, once again, I've said this many times over. I did not like English in school. I didn't like it. And so I didn't study it. All of the nouns and pronouns and adjectives and verbs, and that's, you know, I know some of those things are, and all of every little mark and tittle and jot and all that stuff. I just didn't like that class. Math class, I loved math. I loved it. And so my wife, she was strong, and so she still helps me to this day in those things. But in simplicity, there's some words, they just mean one thing. You can't make them mean two things. There's a lot of words we have that you can make them go both ways. And that's the truth. It depends on how you use it in the sentence. And it can mean one thing, and you use it a different way, it means another thing. That's the English language, it's that way. But when you're talking about redemption, it means one thing. You're bringing it back. When you're talking about restoring, you're talking about bringing it back. And so now, when he's saying here, back to eternal life, going home back to eternal life, he's talking about going back. Amen. You're going back to something that somebody had.
That's right.
Yes. Somebody lost it.
Amen.
Let me say it one more time. Back to eternal life in a human body. Back to eternal life in a human body. Isaiah said they would build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards, eat the fruit. Let me skip down. Getting about almost to the end there. He said, amen. What is it? His bride going back with him. Redeem back to the original Adam and Eve again, for death is left behind. That's right. See, they look back at the cross and they see death has been paid. And now by faith, by revelation, we are resurrected with him and sitting in heavenly places right now, looking back to what redeemed us, waiting for the husband to come to march on home with him. Amen. And we know he's come. We know that he's here. Threefold purpose of God manifested in Adam and Eve and every prophet down through the ages. He that is to come, he that was, he which is, he which is to come. The whole manifestation, the revelation of the Word of God. Adam and Eve going back home again, redeemed, God making himself known. Amen.
That's right.
Now I'm going to skip down here. Paragraph 442. Let me just skip just a little bit here. And there, I might get a couple of these other quotes at the end. I have some extra in here, and I just left it in here. I knew I wouldn't get to all of it because I know some of you will read it, and it's all on the subject. So if you want to read it, it's there. Making his mystery known to his bride tree, redeemed by Christ, the second Adam, going back home to be restored back to the original Eden, free from death, sickness, sorrow, shame, going back with eternal life. Amen. I'm going to skip some more now. This is in The Working of the Holy Spirit. This was preached in Prince Albert. And I'm going to drop down where it says in the middle of the paragraph there, it says, Christ has redeemed everything that Adam lost. Our health, our strength, our eternal spirit was lost in Adam. But Christ has given it back to us freely by grace. All that Adam lost, he's declaring, all that Adam lost. If you're saying, if people can say, yeah, but I'm not in that body. That's not what he said. He didn't say, when you get in that body, then you're going to have. He's saying right now you have it. He's saying right now you're resurrected. He's saying right now you're quickened to life. He's saying right now death has no control over you. It doesn't have. It doesn't have. He says, we have our health. We have our health. We have healing. By his stripes, we are healed. Our strength, our eternal spirit. We know this body's going to die, and it doesn't mean affect one thing for that man that's living on the inside. Our eternal spirit was lost in Adam, but Christ has given it back to us freely by grace. And he's here tonight among us, working, alive, working, doing signs and wonders. And the people sitting here with their handkerchiefs to their faces while hot tears are finding their way down their cheeks. Mothers holding their babies, dads with their hand over on mother and her sick. People sitting in wheelchairs, laying on cots. Some of them with heart attacks, dying of cancer. Satan, you're cruel. Jesus is righteous. And I adjure thee, Satan, by Jesus' name, to depart from every one of them. And let them go home tonight free, rejoicing and giving God praise and claiming that divine healing promise that God has freely given them through Jesus Christ the Lord. We ask it. All right, one more. I think this might be the last one is in oneness. And this is quite the message. Quite a message. The first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden was in perfect harmony with God. So much that God could come down at any time he desired and talk lip to ear with Adam and Eve. Now that is perfect oneness. I'd say amen to that. I would say amen. And I would say that's what every member of his body desires right there. They desire that. God could come down at any time he desired and talk lip to ear with Adam and Eve. Now that's perfect oneness. God and his creation. God speaking lip to ear with Adam and Eve. And they were so perfect in harmony with God till they were one with God. God and his family was one. Any man in his family, a correct, good, noble, obedient family, is one with another. Any family. And if there's something in the family that moves them apart, then it's not right. The family's broken somewhere. They should all be one. Father with mother, mother with father, children with parents, parents with children, all in agreement. And when you see that, you'll see a lovely picture. That's right. And don't you love to see that? That's God's purpose. See? And his purpose as Father Supreme was to be one with his family, earthly family, Adam and Eve. And the only way that they could be one with the family or with God was because God's nature was in them. What was in them? God's nature was in them. God's nature was in them. Then with each other and God, they became all one. Isn't that beautiful? A beautiful picture. Amen. God in his family, Father over all, supreme, no death, no sorrow, no heartaches, no nothing. Just joy unspeakable, never to be sick, never to have a heartache, just one with God. What a picture. Because the very nature of God was in these people. And therefore, what they did, they followed just in line with God. And God, with them, made them one. And that's what is going to make you one today with him, is when we have the same nature. That's what it's going to take, the same nature living in us. Now, we see the different types of life. That's the reason that this man's born as a product of Adam, which was a product of sin from listening to his wife. And the wife was a product of sin come from Satan. And Adam followed his wife out. A perfect type of Christ going with his bride to take her sins. As Adam took the sins of Eve and left the Garden of Eden, not deceived, but willfully walked out with her, so was Christ not deceived. Amen. Satan could not deceive him. Now, that is as perfect can be. That's exactly what Adam was put there to do, was put there to express Christ, of what Christ was going to do thousands of years later. Amen. That was the same nature that of God in Adam that would be in Christ.
Right.
Exact same nature, express exactly the same thing that Christ was going to express. Amen. It was right there in Adam.
Amen.
The first Adam, it was right there manifesting God, manifesting that Savior, manifesting that very thing, that attribute of God. There it was, right there in his Son, being expressed. And he continued to express those attributes until he came to the fullness of the attribute in Jesus Christ. Oh my. I just want to read that little bit again. A perfect type of Christ going with his bride to take her sins. As Adam took the sins of Eve and left the Garden of Eden. Look at, he forfeited it. He forfeited everything to take her sins, to hold on to her. See, he left the Garden of Eden, not deceived, but willingly walked out with her. So was Christ not deceived. If God hadn't put them on free moral agency, Adam would not have been able to save his wife. He wouldn't have been able to do it. If God would have put him there in the image of God and he had not able to, been able to make no choice at all, and he could only do that one thing that God put him there for. But God had to make him where they could fall. And there was only one way to touch Adam, and that was to touch his body. And that was Eve. And that's the only way you could touch Christ, is when you touched his body. And that's why he walked. That's why he went to Calvary. And now everything that come out of that cycle of eternal life, when that goes back into its cycle again, into that ceaseless eternity, not one shape, form of sin in any way will ever enter. Now here's one Baptist preacher that believes in holiness. Amen. Yeah, listen to that again. Everything that comes out of that cycle of eternal life, when that goes back into its cycle again, into that ceaseless eternity, not one shape or form of sin will ever enter there. That's right. It'll go back the same way it came in. Perfect. This is in, actually, this was the last quote, was in fellowship with God through reconciliation. And this is where he was talking about her being the most beautiful. So let's just, we'll read this. We're almost done here, and our time is good. Eve was the most beautiful woman that was ever on the earth. She was God's perfect thought of a woman. And Adam was the most perfect man that lived. And when he was made manifest in Christ, proved it. See? I can see Adam, great big manly shoulders, his big muscles in his legs, his shaggy hair hanging down his neck. I can see Eve beautiful, her blonde hair hanging down her back and her eyes as blue as the skies, sparkled like the stars. She didn't have to use any max factors to make her pretty. No, sir. Her sin is what did that. But brother, she's made in God's image. She's made after the image of man. After God had created her beautiful, never to die, never to get old, never to wrinkle, the sparkle to never go out of her eyes. She was to be forever beautiful. Amen. And neither would Adam's shoulders ever sag, or his hair turn gray, or any deterioration, walking perfect with friendship and fellowship with the Father. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. And then when sin entered, and God seen that they had sinned, before that he could even pass judgment, he had to go kill an innocent lamb or a beast and throw the skins back there to cover up, to make a substitutionary death, provided for the worshiper to come to him. And Adam and Eve standing in his presence. I can see little Eve with them beautiful eyes now. After sin had set in, tears filled them, run down her cheek. I can see Adam with those strong eyes as he looked across the Eden. And those soft winds blowing where he had to make the beast to obey him. And the winds and the waves obey him. Everything else had to obey him. He had full rulership over everything here on earth. And he realized that he lost his fellowship with God. And the tears begin to show him that he was mortal now. That he was what? That he was mortal now. He had lost that eternal life in the flesh. He had lost it. He had forfeited it. Dripped off at his face and run down over his bosom. Dripped off of Eve's head. I can see her look up and said, Adam, I'm the cause of it, dear. Now, Adam was not deceived. No, sir. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew just exactly what he was doing. But Eve was deceived. And Adam did not go out because he had transgressed. See, he wasn't deceived. He didn't go out because he was being deceived. He went out because he loved his wife. So well, he went with her. A very beautiful type of Jesus Christ, knowing no sin, but went to hell and took our place to redeem his wife, the church. Don't get mistaken in that now. Don't get mixed up in that now. Adam was not deceived. Timothy 3, he was not deceived, but Eve being deceived was in the transgression. And Adam went out with her to be with her. And Christ came down from heaven, the immortal God, and was made flesh and dwelt among us here to be one of us, to die as a sinner at Calvary, to redeem us back to fellowship with God again. A beautiful story. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because of his love for the church and lost humanity. What he did, his great plan. And that's the beauty of this message, of the whole message, is that he's revealing the whole thing to his wife. He's making the whole thing real now, the whole plan of redemption. Coming forth with the book of redemption, with the title deed to eternal life, that we might stand. Let's see. 66. I can see them as they turn away from God there. I can see Adam as he starts walking away, and Eve, his arm around Eve. And as they started out through the Garden of Eden, the great Jehovah God standing there. I can see the great endless eternities. And the last paragraph 67. And when God makes a covenant with man, man will break it every time. He always did. But God there made a covenant himself and never said, if you will or something or another, I will put enmity, promising a savior between her seed and Satan's seed. God made a covenant, an unconditional covenant. God had in his mind an eternal plan that he was going to express his great attributes to be expressed through redemption and through the body of Jesus Christ. And how blessed we are to be a part of it. Amen. We thank him and praise him. And so we'll ask you to stand together with us. We're going to stop right there. And we just appreciate him. I would like for us to sing a song. I don't know if I can do that. Would you do that, sister? Brother, you want to come? Will I need to leave this mic? Okay, you got this. Okay. So, praise be to God. We thank him and praise him, and we thank him for healing. Rough week for us. Sunday was really rough. And but we thank God. It's almost out. It's almost over. And we plan to go back to work tomorrow. And so we thank him for his blessings, his mercy and grace. Amen.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. And it made me think of the Brother Branham said that Adam lost the consciousness of his eternal life. He was come unaware of it. And I know the brothers hit that a few times, but made me think about today. If you're eternal, Brother Don said this over and over and over, if you're eternal, you're always was eternal. You don't become eternal. But what happened today? By the renewing of your mind, you become conscious. You regain that consciousness again. So, I had a song coming up here, and it's lost. I've left my mind here. Just sing Joy Unspeakable. Let's sing Joy Unspeakable. Give me a minute, we'll find that. Page 597. that one of his first quotes where he's talking about where Adam fell from eternity, and I was talking to him, and I was talking to Brother Don one time, and I mentioned it to Amanda one time, and Brother Don said it just right. To have fallen from somewhere, you had to be there. Yep. And to fall from that couch, you had to be on the couch to fall. It wasn't a possibility of falling from the couch and then you fail. You know, if you was, and then that one close to the end there, and I can't remember how Brother Branham just said it, but he talked about when that cycle goes back into that endless cycle. So think about falling from and then going back, and that it's going back to that endless cycle of eternal life. It, those two quotes kind of jumped out at me there, and we appreciate him. We appreciate Revelation, and we know that's his mind, a clearer picture of his mind and a better understanding. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly it is a joy that's unspeakable. Lord, the English language, or Lord, for that matter, every earthly language falls short, Lord. We think about what the prophet said, that with the renewing of our mind, we begin to speak a holy language, Lord. And truly in that language, Lord, in your spirit and your truth is the only way we can express it. And it's not us, Lord. We know that. We know that it's you, Lord. And we appreciate that, Lord. We appreciate the service tonight, Lord, the great quotes, Lord, and you speaking to us, Lord, and it's just it's beyond words, Lord. Sublime, fall short, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. And as we go from this place, may we continue to be ever conscious, ever sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord, to your presence, Lord, for as the brother read tonight, Lord, that was his desire, Lord, to have a many-membered bride in the body, Lord, that he could speak to, Lord, and have fellowship, Lord, to be one with again, Lord. Lord, and we appreciate it, Lord. Those that are not feeling well, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon them. Lord, you know all situations. You know the end from the beginning, Lord. Nothing slipped by you, Lord. And we thank you for all things that you've done for us. Lord, just be with us as we go from this place. Bring us back the next appointed time, if that be your will, Lord. And if not, Lord, we'll be more than happy to meet everyone over there, Lord. We just pray your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.